بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. From sometimes people ask this question quite regularly, okay, how this whole world started, what was the commencement, what was the beginning of this whole universe, what does the Quran Sharif speak about it, does the Hadith have to say anything about it. So the Quran and the Hadith, when it speaks, they don't get into matters that are not important and relevant. Things that pertain and relate to human life, to the life of this world, or the life of the hereafter, Quran will discuss it. And the extras and the frills, Quran won't discuss it. The Hadith also will not discuss it. So it will come straight to the point that this is what is needed and this is what is not needed, so we're not going to discuss it. People come and ask about dinosaurs, and then if someone has got a research about the dinosaurs, he feels that he's very advanced, very educated, very progressive. Then a simple thing for a Muslim to understand is, does it relate to the life of this world? Does it improve the quality of this life? Does it improve the quality of the qabr or of the hereafter? If it isn't going to improve the quality of this life, the quality of the life in the qabr, the quality of the life in the hereafter, then why go behind it? Once someone came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, and he was not a man, not a woman, both he had. So he's asking Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi that what's the most central spot of the earth. So Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi says that the spot that you are standing upon. So he asked, what's the proof? So go and measure it. And then he went on to ask, how many stars in the sky? So Boni Paramahansa says, as much as the trees in the earth. What's the proof? Go and count them. So then he asked, are there more animals or are there more men? Imam Sahib said, obviously it's animals. What's the proof? Go and count. Then he went to ask, now, are there more men or more women? Abu Hanifa says, alright, I'll come to that just now, but what are you? So this was happening in the presence of the king. The king cautioned this person, but this is a man that you mustn't ask stupid questions. Now you see, you felt embarrassed. You are both now. So you got embarrassed because of your questioning. So unfortunately, we get into these unnecessary questions and we feel now we're progressing, we know about this and we know about that and we know about that. But the simple thing to ask ourselves, does it improve the quality of this life, quality of the next life, quality of the hereafter? If it doesn't improve, just leave it. It's like a comic now, you read it, you read it. You didn't read it, it's not a train smash. You didn't lose out anything. So the Quran and the Hadith will talk about things that are real, that connect to your life. It will bring about quality, it will bring about understanding, it will bring about betterment. So the Quran speaks about the commencement of this world, and then the things that relate to the commencement. إِدَّتَ الشُّهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ اثْنَا عَشَرَ شَهْرًا. The count of months in the sight of Allah Ta'ala are 12, from the beginning of the creation, from the beginning of the creation of the heavens and the earth. That's how Allah Ta'ala has made it, it's 12 months. Minha arba'atun hurum. And in the 12 months, there are four sacred months. إِدَّ تَشْهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ اثْنَا عَشْرَ شَهْرًا فِيهَا يَوْمَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. In the 12, there are 4 that are sacred. So you see how the Quran is speaking about now. Allah Bagna say, you know what, you know, when we started off creating the earth, then this was the mold first, this was the material that we used, and this was the law of chemistry and physics that we used to create this earth, all that. Allah Bagna didn't go into all this detail. There was no need for all that. So he comes straight to the point, there were 12 months. Alright, so the lesson you learn, that when you are calculating, you need to understand that there are 12 months. And the second thing that you need to learn is that in that, there are 4 sacred months. Right? So there are 2 facts that are being placed before you. One is there are 12 months, and then there are 4 sacred months. So why do you need to know that there are 12 months? Because within these 12 months, you're going to be calculating your obligations. Ramadan, you're going to be calculating through this. Right? Your zakat, you're going to be calculating through the lunar year. Your hajj, you're going to calculate through this. Your taraweeh namaz and whatever else, you're going to be calculating through this whole calculation. So you need to know the basis of the calculation for your calculation to be right. If you don't know the basis of the calculation, can you get your Ramadan right? Can you get your hajj right? Can you get your rozas right? You can't get it right. So you need to know the basis of the calculation so that you get this right. You get it conforming. Right. Minha arba'atun hurum. So within this entire system, there are 4 sacred months. Now, in this 4 sacred months, what is what you are supposed to be doing? And what one is what was the style of the kuffar before you? إِنَّمَا النَّسِيءُ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْكُفْرِ يُضَلُّ بِهِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُحِلُّونَهُ عَامًا وَيُحَرِّمُونَهُ عَامًا. So this delaying and shifting of months, the shifting of months, this was a feature of the kuffar before you. What they were doing, they were shifting months. Now, Allah Pak says that there are 4 sacred months, and the sacred months was determined from that time. From the time that Allah created the earth. From that time he had stipulated there are 4 sacred months. So what these people began to do, they began to shift this sacred months. Because in the sacred months, you're supposed to be showing more respect to these sacred months than other months. For example, you are engaging in war, right? So when these 4 months that are sacred, they commence, then you're supposed to be stopping the war until these 4 months pass. Once the 4 months have passed, now you will continue if there is a need. Now they are seeing, alright, we are in the midst of the war, and it's just a week or two and we'll wipe this out. We'll come out of the situation completely. Now if we are going to procrastinate it for 2 months, right, because from the 4 sacred months, 3 months come consecutively. Zulqadah, Zulhijjah, and Muharram. Now for example, we are in Shawwal, right? And in a week's time, we can wipe this whole thing out completely. And we stall the war now for another 3 months, and we continue after the 3rd month. We are giving the opposition an opportunity to go and prepare themselves. They're going to prepare themselves, they're going to arm themselves, they're going to come back to war. So we don't know what's going to be the position then. Rather than we've got control over the situation, rather finish it up once and for all. See now how they were using the reasoning. But then how do we do it? Because now the sacred months coming, and in the sacred months, it is an accepted fact, it is a unanimously agreed consensus that these 4 months have to be respected and honored. But how do we reconcile the both? So alright, what we can do is for this year we will say that now we're coming into Zulqad, that's one of the 4 sacred months. What we will do, we say Zulqadah is in Safar. This year, only for this year, Zulqadah is shifted to Safar. And now Safar is in Zulqadah. See how they swap the whole thing. Now when I read this, so it comes to my mind, what's the difference between our behavior and their behavior? Right? What we are doing is, we are preserving the name and adjusting things. We're preserving them. This is haram, it's haram, alright. So we preserve those names, those words we preserved. But the prohibition and the lawful aspect, now we are just adjusting this, adjusting that. Now why are we making this adjustment? We're making this adjustment just to appease ourselves. Just to appease ourselves. No, this is prohibited, so we consider this to be prohibited. This is haram, so we consider this to be haram. Or by this is interest. No, this is not interest. The mullah told me it's not interest, this is something else. But in your mind, you know it's interest. In your heart of heart, you know that's wrong. Now, you had to go somewhere to shop around for some type of masla to appease your conscience, to appease your mind. Now, appeasing yourself, does that make it halal? Does it make it permissible? You appease yourself, but within your heart, do you feel that what you are doing is right? So they had to also appease their mind, like how we are appeasing our minds. Like, for example, now the television issue is becoming a debated issue, right? Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about it. I don't want to get into the merits of it, whether it's halal or haram and all that. That's a different issue altogether. But if you ask the common person, right, that what it is, give me an explanation of what television is. So he will tell you, all right, it's a machine that shows pictures, that reflects some pictures, right? So then you ask the person, all right, picture making, how is it in Islam? He says, no, picture making is not permissible. All right. So then when picture making is not permissible, then how do you allow it in your home? So now that Mulana said it's permissible. So within your mind, you are confused. No, it's digital, it's something else, not a photograph. But now, how do you differentiate a normal photograph from a digital photograph? Is there any line where you can say, oh, this is haram and this is permissible? Is there any line that you can find this difference? So no, I can't find the line. So then why must you go into it when you can't find the line? What's the better thing? And the hadith tells you that where you are in doubt, you must stay out. That halal is clear, haram is clear, in between there are doubtful areas. So doubtful areas, the hadith is explaining you, but just don't go in. That's the hadith. And the Quran says, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُهَا. These are the limits of Allah, don't go close. It's a limit of Allah, don't come near there, don't come near, just move away. Will you go clear? If you know the policeman is here, you're a AK-47, and he's telling you, boy, don't come here close. Will you say that I'm not crossing the border, or you'll keep away from him? You will keep away, that's obvious. Your mind will tell you, boy, I must keep away. Just now by mistake, he got the finger on the trigger already, and mistakenly he just shoots me then. So you are very conscious about that. So the Quran is saying you, and the hadith is telling you, but stay out of these areas. Don't get into it. Just now you'll get into a confusion. You won't know what you are doing. You will try this, you will experiment this, you will experiment this, until you fall into haram. There's two sahaba, Usayd ibn Hudayr and Abbad ibn Bishr. Radiallahu anhu. I'll come to this story just now again, inshallah. So they heard that the Jews, when the woman is in her menses, right, in her menses, then the Jews, according to their style, their law, then they will not even cohabit with her. They will not share the same room as she will live in. They will not eat together, totally separate. She must be out of the room. You're not going to be in the same room. You're not going to be eating together. You're going to be eating differently. You're going to be sleeping differently. You're not going to be talking to her as long as she's in her menses. Now they heard this from the Jews, that this is what they do. Now on the side of the Muslims, we are instructed that we go against them. We go and oppose them. Whatever they're doing, we go and oppose them. They're keeping long, long moustaches. We will trim our moustache. They don't comb their hair and all that. They're more religious people, so we will comb our hair. Right? So whatever they will do, we will oppose it. We will not imitate them. Right? So these two people came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and suggested to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we are on the one end asked to oppose them. They have total separation in the days of menses. So why don't we oppose them completely? That we say, all right, sharing the same bed is permissible. We say that sleeping in the same room is permissible. We say that eating together and doing whatever else is permissible. The only difference is now, we don't sleep together. We don't have any relationship in that days, right? So why don't we totally oppose them, that in that days we will have relationship with them as well? So the suggestion is coming, and the suggestion is given in good spirit. Right? Can you say that the Sahaba Ikram had bad spirit, had bad intent? No bad intents. Thing is that we asked to go against them. So when you ask to go against them, so we go against them and we go against them full, one way we go against them. Whatever they're doing, we go against them. So Rasulullah's Mubarak countenance, Mubarak face changed, became red. Because the suggestion is against the principle. You will oppose them, but so long as you keep to your principle. You will not oppose them madly. You will show that you are distinct from them. You will show that you are separate from them. You will show that you are different from them. But in the process, you will not go and break any Shari'i principle. Now what you are doing is you are breaking a Shari'i principle. And as a Nabi, I need to show that you are breaking this. So therefore this disgust appears in my face. So that's the duty of a Nabi. He can't see. Nabi can't see a wrong taking place in his presence. Musa alayhi salam had accompanied Khizr alayhi salam for those days where he was learning something from Khizr alayhi salam. And Musa alayhi salam had agreed that, you see, I'm not going to ask you any question. I'm not going to ask anything. I'm not going to interfere in your work. But the moment Khizr alayhi salam went and killed that innocent infant child, Musa alayhi salam had objected. قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شِيْئًا نُكْرًا. That innocent soul you have killed without any justifiable cause. You have done a terrible thing. Right? So that was the bounden duty of a Nabi. That when he sees a wrong taking place, he mustn't remain silent. Because the silence of a Nabi construes approval. Whatever Nabi, it took place in his presence, and the Nabi remained silent. When he remains silent, that silence of the Nabi construes approval. So he can't remain silent. It is unnatural for him to remain silent. He'll have to oppose it. See. So if this wrong suggestion is brought to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, irrespective of the intent, but Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will have to oppose it, have to totally go against it. He'll have to go totally against it. So they realize that the suggestion we have given was not right. Anyway, that majlis perhaps was coming to an end, so these two Sahaba Ikram had moved. In the meanwhile, as they were leaving, someone brought a gift of some milk. So Rasulullah SAW called for them, and he presented and offered the milk to them. Now this is a different thing. I'm just completing this hadith. Though it's not relating to our subject, but I'm completing this hadith. Rasulullah called for them and he offered them this milk. They drank of the milk. Now, they realize that Rasulullah is not annoyed with them. Right? Now, we understand that when you are in a senior position, right, there is someone junior to you, he stumbles somewhere, or you will express your disapproval. Now, when you realize, when you come to the understanding that this person has expressed his remorse, he is remorseful, he is repentful, right? What do you do? Now you don't pull up your face for the rest of the day. You don't pull up your face for 2 days or 3 days. Oh, he made this mistake. No, put him in his place. No. He's remorseful for what he's done. And you have to interact with the person. Right? He's remorseful. He's sincere for what he has done. Sincerely repentful for what he's done. So now you cover up. So you will cover up in such a way that you will enjoy the same type of relationship. Now the milk came, he called for them and he presented. Now what happens to the hearts? The heart said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is back to normal with us. It was just a thing of the moment. It was a situation for that moment. And for that moment, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to express his disapproval. Therefore, he had expressed his disapproval. But once we realized that we stumbled, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was normal with us again. Now, the wife made a mistake, or the child made a mistake. Now, 20 years, you're not going to talk to the child. This type of situations do come about. They do come about. Say, no, I told his son, I'm talking about real situation now, you don't even come to my janazah. The father is telling the child for a mistake that is made. I understand that it was a mistake of the child. But when a child is remorseful, now must we continue pulling up our face? Now, that means we are assuming a position higher than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could immediately accept the apologies. Immediately could accept the apologies. Now we feel like we are something even greater than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he, before these people could depart, actually, from the residence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were called back, everything is back to normal, and they're going. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have to put that person in his place, as though we feel that we are even higher. So you see, when a person has stumbled, he's remorseful, then how do we resume that normal relationship, that working relationship, that muhabbat, that understanding? We're living under one roof. We can't continue with that. If that is a home, and we have got the spirit of Islam within our heart, and we feel for our brother, we feel for our son, we feel for our wife, then we can't be continuing with that. Remember, brothers, what you do now, you will repay for it. You will repay what you're doing. If you do a wrong, an act of injustice, you will have to pay for it and pay for it very dearly. And see, the hadith says it very clearly, very, very clearly, that most wrongs that you do, you will repay for that wrong in the hereafter. You did a wrong, now you're going to pay for the wrong that you have done, but you're going to pay for it in the hereafter. But there are some wrongs that you will do, and you're going to be paying for it in this world. Basically, there's two things. Muhammad Shafi Sahib says, basically, there are two things. That apart from the punishment of the hereafter, you will have to pay for the consequence of your wrong in this world. One is injustice. You have been unjust towards someone, whoever it was, your worker, your friend, your wife, your children, your parents, whoever it was. But you were not right with them. And you will see the thing will turn around, it will turn around, it will come back to you. At the time that you wanted Allah's help most, at that time you see now you left in the lurch. No help coming. No help. Absolutely gone. Finish. Why? Because you had hurt someone. So because of the hurt that you have done, that is coming around and coming back onto your lap. It must come onto your lap. And it will come at a time that you don't want it to come. You want everything to go smooth. At that time now, when you're enjoying yourself, you're relaxed. Now suddenly you receive a telephone. This is what happened. And all that enjoyment is gone. Everything is gone. The enjoyment is gone. Can you imagine you enjoying yourself at the height of your pleasure, and you just hear now that the child that you were pining for, he just died in a motor car accident. So remember, when you're going to be unjust, you're going to be not concerned about how you are treating people, this is going to come around. It will come around at the time you don't want it, it's going to come back to you. It will lie right on your laps. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. You have wronged, that you must be prepared now. Something is going to come to you. That wrong that you have done is going to come back to you. One person, he's taken his father, right, and he's left him outside the town. India, you're talking of simple dwellings, simple homes. They call it a chopal. Everybody congregates. I left him with a chopal. It's like an open place, just a little bit of a roof. So he left his father there. Why? Because the wife was complaining and nagging all the time. This man here is occupying space and, you know, all the time we're just listening to his cough and whatever else is spitting all around. So we need to take him out of the house. So the child is accompanying the father to take his grandfather. The child is accompanying the father to take the grandfather and leave him with the chopal outside. Like how we got a bus stop, just a little bit of a cover, leave him there, let him end his days, and that's the end of it. So he felt a little bit sorry for the father. He caught a small carpet and he gave it to the father. Said, at least you want to rest, you can rest there. So the child knows, he's observing what's going on. So the child tells the father, you know what, you're giving him such a big carpet, such a big long carpet. Can't you just cut it into two pieces and give me half? So the father asked the child, but why must I give you the half? He says, you see, you are going to deposit grandfather, dada, that side, right? So give me half, so when you get old and my wife has to complain, that half I can use to deposit you at the chopal. See, that's an immediate reward. You take him out, your child will take you out. You throw him out, and it will turn around. Just now it will come. It will come, and your child will throw you out. So this thing must happen. It's a reality of life. You're going to be deceitful, you're going to be robbing, you're going to be cheating, you're going to be hurting. It will coil around, it will coil, and it will come back to you. At a time that you don't want it to come. You know, my parents had made Hajj around 64, 65, you know. So, they'd come into contact with people like, in the old days, simple hotels had all types of people living on a hotel. So, they came across one doctor, and he had a whole complement of ships, you know, liners, taking passengers and cruisers and whatever, you know, Hajis and all that. All, about 20, 30 ships he had. And that was one single person, he was the owner of them. So anyway, my parents had saw this person here, but very disgusted, very low, very depressed, right down and out. So what happened, bhai? So no, I got married, and then my wife was complaining about my parents. So I built up a nice home, and I left my parents in that home. I separated. And then, because of her constant nagging and all that, I won't visit them. I won't see them like I need to see them. So I separated from them. And to the displeasure of my parents. Today I've got so much. I've got 20 fleet ships. Can you imagine how wealthy I am? But that consciousness is leaving me in a state that I'm painful all the time. I'm painful. I see everything. But there's no enjoyment. There's no inner happiness. Within me, there's absolutely no happiness. Happiness is completely collapsed. There's no happiness. I see all the wealth, but it's meaningless for me. And I think to myself, that I had not a single ship, but I had the du'as of my parents, today I would have been a progressive person. But I have done this just to please this one here, and today this is my position. See? So you see, this hadith says that you will be unjust, and you will feel, you will see the thing being, is coiling around, coming back to you. So it happens in every dimension of life. You've got a business, and to your staff you're not right. You think you have gone away. You have got away. No, no, you haven't got away. That person is also a servant of Allah Ta'ala. By the end of the day, you keep him happy and let him go. Don't you squeeze the person. You've got limitations, he's got limitations. He did some wrong, he doesn't intend it, unless now that he's doing it, you know, malicious intent. It's a different thing. Then you work him out, obviously. But his intentions are right, he's doing the right thing, he stumbled here and there, and then you're squeezing him. Tomorrow Allah can turn the whole thing around. You can be in his position, he can be in your position. People come and tell me actually these things. Oh, you know, I had this type of shop, I had so many branches, so many outlets I had, 20, 30, and today I am working for one of my staff. Things just turn around. People come and tell you that, I am working for one of, I have 20 shops, and today I am working for one of my staff, and I just, whatever little I am getting, 4,000 I am getting in a month, and I am happy with that. Because there's no other job available. But you see, from where to where? 20 shops, and now he's working for that same person that was working for him. So things will turn around. So you're in that position, then that position doesn't mean that you must exploit. You must hurt. You must be rude. You must be abrupt. You can't. You can't afford it. You stumble somewhere, before the end of the day, before the end of business, you're going to sort it out. You're going to rectify. So Hadith says it very clearly, that these two things, apart from the punishment that is stored for you in the hereafter, you're going to pay for it in this world. One is where you were unjust towards someone. And number two is where you had severed relationship with someone. Your family, your wife, your children, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, whoever it was, but it was some relative. And you were not good towards them. You broke up with them. You distanced yourself from them. You tried to please the friend and you had, in the process, hurt your own family. You hurt them. In pleasing the friend, you had hurt your own family. Remember this, brothers. You can't, you know, they say in English, you don't rob Paul to pay Peter. You can't rob one to pay the other one. If there is a right, then you fulfill that right. There's a right here, you fulfill the right. Both rights. You can't rob one to pay the other. That's not right. Where did you come out from? That you try to rob one, and you pay the other one? No. If the person is keeping quiet, you think it's going without Allah Pak observing. Allah Pak is observing all this thing, what's going on. This is what you are doing. And then the immediate thing that will happen, Allah Ta'ala will squeeze your rosy. You are robbing this person, you are cheating this person, you are hurting this person, I'll squeeze you also. You will see how it feels. You're getting squeezed. You're squeezing that person, you're getting squeezed. You're opening up, Allah Ta'ala opens up for you. But you're squeezing that person, then Allah Ta'ala will squeeze you as well. Don't you know Allah Ta'ala is watching? Don't you know He's observing? So the consequence of this, these two actions, apart from what is stored in the hereafter, comes in this world as well. Similarly, the consequence of two good deeds are such apart from the good that you will get in the hereafter, the reward in the hereafter, you get it in this world. And that is exactly the opposite. One is, you are kind. You are good towards people. They are hard towards you. They are being unreal towards you. They are unjust towards you. But with all that, you still be kind. You still be generous. You still be good towards them. Irrespective of what they are doing, you are not concerned about it. Irrespective. You are being good towards them. I remember around the 80s, there was some dispute and it came to Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi. So Mufti Sahib explained the parties involved. I'm just giving you my own words, you know. See, we believe in the ghaib. We believe in unseen help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the opening verse of Surah Baqarah. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَةِ. We believe in the ghaib. You will do something, you'll see a reward. You'll do something, you'll see a reward. See, we are not that capitalistic type of mind, that materialistic type of mind that I must see to believe. No. We will do it and we'll hope in Allah. We will do things and we'll hope in Allah that Allah will make it work. So he says there was a dispute, two brothers, right, inheritance estate that they had got, and there was a dispute going on. So one brother, this is Shah Abul Mu'ali Sahib Rahmatullahi, he turned out to be a great buzurg afterwards. Right. So here, the brother is seeing now that this is going on, right? It's not a healthy situation. Just now it's between us, right? Now our wives will come to know, and then the broader families will come to know, and the whole town will come to know. This whole stench is going to move right through the town. What I've got now, I've just got one more property, that's all. So he says to his brother, you see what? There's a musalla here, and there's a tasbih that we have got from the family, right? It's coming from above. It's a musalla, there's a tasbih. And this is all the properties. The millions and the millions are all here. You make the decision what you want. Either the tasbih and the musalla, or you take the properties. He says, no, alright. One brother says, no. Shah Abul Ma'ali Sahib's family says, no, we will take the musalla and the tasbih. So, alright, we're going to take all the properties. MashaAllah. Shake hands, be happy, smiling at each other, moving on. Now, the events will unravel afterwards. It will unravel. Allah Pak made him so wealthy, that this brother, slowly all his properties began to go. He had to work for this one here. You see, it takes time. He had to work for this one. Number two of this Shahabul Ma'ali Sahib Rahmatullahi, Allah Ta'ala created such great luminaries in his family. Right? Like Hazrat Mawla Khalil Ahmad Sahan Puri Sahib came from his family. And this is that buzurg who brought about a change in this world. He is one sheikh, he is one murid, is Mawla Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi. He is one murid, is Shaykh al-Hadith Mawla Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi. What a big change they made in the entire world. Now who is this? The Shahabul Ma'ali Sahib. But that one qurbani that you made, one sacrifice that you made, and you see the time of change has come. And your niyat was what? Just to patch up, just to reconcile. Alright, you the winner, alright. You take it, never mind. We don't want to fight, we don't want to dispute, you my family, I'm your family. We'll continue. We will love each other, we'll respect each other. You go your way, we go our way. We don't want to dispute. So these two things are such that apart from the good and the reward of the hereafter, you're getting paid immediately. Immediately you're getting paid. And really I've seen this several times over and over again. You be good and generous. Don't worry about what that person is doing. You know, paying for that last cent, fighting, disputing, going into court, etc. You can reconcile out of court. I don't say don't go by. But the thing that is even better is forgive and forget and carry on. Forgive and forget. If you've got that heart, you've got that strength and ability, forgive and forget and continue. Rather than saying, no, my nose must be longer than your nose. My integrity, my image and reputation must be better than your reputation. Take it, or you take it and you go. I will respect you still, you my family. So these two things are such that they must come with a reward. In this life, you will get a reward. You will see how the prosperity will come. Your children will be prospering. And that other brother today, nobody knows about the family. And here this thing is running, and it's running so solid. We say, up now, Shaykh al-Hadith Ramadhan has passed away over 30 years. 82 something, he passed away. Right? Over 30 years, and we're still talking as though the man is still living today. Right? The Tabligh Jamaat, Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi passed away 1940 somewhere. Right? 40, 41. He passed away then. Up till now, the fruits of his efforts is growing still. Anywhere and everywhere. Yeah? Don't hear every masjid, our success, your success, as though the man is still alive. As though the man is still alive. Well, what is this? It is the initial input and the sacrifice of those pioneers. They put in that sacrifice. And now, the coming generations, then they see the fruit. ulama are created, thousands of jamaat workers are created, mashayikh are born, mujahideen are born, all from the one silsila. So there isn't a facet, there isn't a dimension of deen, but the service is going on. But that's an initial outlay. You laid out. And then you see the rewards coming in. Now the man is happy lying in his grave and he sees all the return. He's better than the king. He's greater than the king. You are lying. And at that time you need the returns coming in. And you see that one sacrifice that you made. Allah Pak says, you see that sacrifice you made is not going unattended. We are attending to all the sacrifice that you made. So anyway, we are talking about this kuffar and their mentality. What is the mentality of this? That just to appease themselves, they make adjustments. Halal, haram, and all that. This mullah said that person said that. And really, it's not that mullah to be blamed. More than that alim, we are to be blamed. Because we want that. We want that, and we're shopping for someone to give some approval to what we want. We want that, and we want someone just to endorse it. So this person is not endorsing it, this person is endorsing it. Right, let's go with it. So we have made up our minds that I want this answer. So to get this type of answer, I'm going to this type of alim. So I ask you, is that ittiba'a nafs or ittiba'a sharia? Is it ittiba'a? Are you following Allah Ta'ala or are you following your own nafs? Ask yourself who you are following. You want that type of answer, so you're going to that type of person. You're not going with a clear mind. And whatever he's going to say, I'm going to do it. Come what may. This is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go by that. Come what may. Whatever comes before me after that, I'm going to do it. Minha arba'atun hurum. There are four sacred months. These are three consecutive. Zulqada, Zulhijja, and Muharram. And the fourth month being Rajab. It's between Ramadan and Shaban, between Shaban and Jamadu Thani. Right? Rajab, Shaban. So between Shaban and Jamadu Thani, and this month of Rajab comes in. So these are 4 months. فَلَا تَزْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Now what is the command related to these 4 months? Don't you wrong yourselves, don't you do wrong to yourselves within these 4 months. So now the thing to think about and ponder about is this, that you won't wrong yourself right throughout the year. Allah Pak is speaking with emphasis that in this 4 months you see to it that you don't wrong yourself within this 4 months. In other words, you need to exercise greater precaution in these 4 months. In the rest of the year you will exercise precaution. And in this 4 months particularly, you will exercise even greater precaution. فَلَا تَزْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Hence, Allama ibn Qayyim rahmatullah says that the one that takes care of these 4 months, he takes care, proper care of these 4 months, then you will find goodness will flow right throughout the year. Everything is just working on. These 4 months just need to take care of these 4 months. Zulqa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, and the last one being Rajab. You take care of these 4 months, and these 4 months will take care of you for the rest of the year. You just take care of these 4 months, and you will find these 4 months will take care of you for the rest of the year. So a Muslim's mentality is totally different. You know, it's a kamal. It's a kamal, it's a perfection, it's an achievement for man. What is the real achievement? When you analyze his whole man and his life in this world, short stay here, and then the perpetual eternal life of the year after, what is the achievement? The achievement is that he must accept his mistake. That is the achievement of man. You just accept your mistake, but from the heart and from the soul, you accept and you confess, you acknowledge now. So acceptance and confession, acknowledging of your weakness, really that is the perfection, that is the achievement of this life. And rejecting, denying, refusing to accept, that is total failure. You accept because your father Adam alayhi salam had accepted. Right? You accept because all the Anbiya alayhi salam had accepted. Whenever they stumbled, whenever they made a mistake, even in their calculations, and we believe that they were innocent against any sin, but even in the calculation they made a mistake here and there, immediately it's brought to their attention, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. So when they accepted, Allah Ta'ala accepted them. ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. They accepted, when they accepted, Allah Ta'ala says, I focused my special favor towards them. I ushered them, I admitted them into my mercy. Right? Just because of their confession. They accepted wholeheartedly, Allah Ta'ala, we have wronged. Conceal, we have wronged. So Allah Ta'ala likes that heart. But that man comes, he's broken. He says, Allah Ta'ala, I messed it up, I made a mistake. Allah Ta'ala, you forgive me. He's accepted. So when he accepted, then Allah Ta'ala embraced him in his love, in his mercy. Allah Ta'ala gave everything. Made him the Khalifa of the earth. Made him the vicegerent of the earth. But that was on acknowledgement. The moment he said, Abu laka bi ni'matika alayya wa abu bi dhanbi. Allah Ta'ala, I do agree, I do admit that your favors on me are immense. I do agree. From head to toe, when I look at myself, it's only favors and favors, nothing but favors. From your side, Allah Ta'ala is just gifts and gifts. And from my side, Allah Ta'ala, it's only mistakes and mistake. From your side, it is only ata and ata. And from my side, it's only khata and khata. I look at myself, it's only mistakes. And I look at your side, it's only favors. Nothing else but favors. That is provided we see correctly. So this is now the achievement of man. When he sees himself and he sees, I acknowledge, O Allah, I accept. I do accept. I wholeheartedly accept. And therefore, O Allah, I do accept. I do acknowledge that I am wrong. I do accept that your favors of me are immense, more than immense. One person, he's got a stroke. The whole entire body has got a stroke. Can't move a limb. And in that also, there's a chi of the face. He's smiling, and he's happy. He's bright. You see, the face is bright because the face is an expression of the heart. What's in the heart is being expressed on the face. From the eyes, you can see it. But it's a moment. It's a time that you're totally helpless, useless. But you're cheering like this. You're so happy. He says, mustn't I be happy that I can pass out nicely and comfortably? I don't have that takleef. No takleef of passing out. Number one, number two, no takleef I've got. So isn't an occasion for me to be happy about it? Imagine if I had some things, but I couldn't pass out. What difficulty I could have been going through? I can pass out nicely, comfortable, everything is going on well. I'm making shukr for that. So if you look towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards His favors from that dimension, you'll have occasion only to be happy. That's a cash reward for appreciation that within your heart, within your mind, you won't be stressing. You'll be happy. Allah Ta'ala, I am too good. I am too well. I am covered with your favor. From top to bottom, I am covered with your favor. You won't feel grieved. So this is an achievement of mankind. And this you will get the cue from your father, Adam alayhi salam. And the failure of mankind is to leave your father. You have been unloyal to your father. You abandoned your father. And you went to someone else besides your father. You went to your father's enemy. So your achievement is you go with your father. That's loyalty. That's faithfulness. Right? That's respect. And you left your father and you went to your father's enemy, Shaitan. Shaitan, when Allah Ta'ala had spoken to him, then what was his response? No, Allah Ta'ala. You need to reconsider. Oh, Allah Ta'ala, what? You need to reconsider because this is not right. I am fire. Fire just goes up. The fire doesn't go down. I am fire and fire just ascends. It goes up. It's the sand that goes down. So sand needs to come down to fire, not fire go down to earth. Fire can't go down to earth. The earth must come up with the fire. So Allah, you need to reconsider. So you see, he don't accept. Allah Pak is bringing it to his attention. Why? Ma manaka antasjuda lima khalaqtu biyadai. Allah Pak is bringing it to his attention. And Allah Pak didn't need to do it. But he's bringing it to his attention because of his love. Because of his muhabbat for his creation. But the creation is acting defiant. When it's becoming adamant, then Adam alayhi salam, what Allah Pak tells him, I make you my first vicegerent. I give you that honor. I give you that respect. I will accept you. I will embrace you in my love. See? So these are the favors, cash favors Allah Pak gives him. And you, ukhruj minha, get out from you, expelled. You were here, now you expelled. That was the first order. فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. And you rejected. You get out. What is you expelled? Then you rejected. I don't want to see you. عَلَيْكَ الْلَعْنَةَ. And perpetual curse till the day of Qiyamah. You'll be cursed. See. So that's not your father. He's not of the same species. He's different. He's alien to your father. So don't go to that alien person. He's alien. He's not your father. He's not from that lineage. He's totally foreign. He's alien. He's an adversary. He's an enemy. He is against the plan of your father. It's against the route of your father. It's against the way and the itinerary of your father. So why do you go behind him? His plan was to become adamant, to become defiant, to rebel, to oppose, not to admit, not to accept. And that's the end, that's the consequence of this person. And this person, his role was, he just accepted. Oh, I don't know anything, Allah Pak. I made a mistake, I stumbled. He's acknowledging, accepting, humbling himself. And Allah Pak elevated him. See how simple it is. When you look at this whole thing, it's so simple. Just accept, admit, and carry on. Go on, smooth it up and make the life. You only accept two things. Just two things. Accept his favors all the time. Just recognize his favor. Recognize his bounties. Recognize his grace all the time, at any given time. But recognize his favor. Allah Pak, you did this for me. Allah Pak, you did this for me. Allah Pak, you are so bountiful. You're going to sleep. Allah Ta'ala, you're so bountiful. You gave me loving parents, loving wife, loving children, everything. Allah says, everything of the best. Allah Ta'ala, the only thing I'm short of is I can't thank you enough. Give me the tongue that I can thank you. La ufsi sanan alik anta kama athnayta nafsi. Now imagine how happy Allah Ta'ala will become. When you say, Allah Ta'ala, I don't have the tongue to appreciate you enough, how happy Allah Ta'ala gets. You see, just that confession, acceptance, and more than that, that appreciation, what it brings you. And over and above that, what he does for you in this world, it blocks off the passages of shaitan. That appreciation, that confession, acceptance, it blocks it off completely. Shaitan vowed, shaitan said, that وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. What he said? When he was expelled, so he says to Allah Ta'ala, you know what I will do? I will get these people from all sides, from the top, from the bottom, from the side, from above, from below, from all sides I'll get this mankind. And Allah Ta'ala, the way I'll get them, you know how I'll get them? لَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. You will find these people don't acknowledge, they don't respect, they don't appreciate. And here we're going to appreciate. We're going to appreciate everybody. We'll appreciate everything, everybody. I was just thinking, in Ramadan I was thinking, you know, see our whole attahiyat, it's an expression, it's a token of appreciation. Attahiyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. All ibadat, whether it is verbal, whether it is material, whether it is physical, Allah Ta'ala is for you. It's for you, it comes from you and it's for you. So you're accepting Allah Ta'ala, it's from you and came from you. It's from you and it is for you. Right. So that's an acknowledgement, isn't it? It is from you and it is for you. Could you do that ibadat of your own? So Allah Ta'ala came, whether it was verbal, whether it was material, whether it was physical, whichever way. Allah Ta'ala is for you and it came from you. Allah Ta'ala. It's not mine. It's not my achievement. It's not of me at all, Allah Ta'ala. It's of you. It's just your blessing. Allah Ta'ala, I admit. Even this ibadat that I'm doing, I'm sitting here, Allah Ta'ala, it's your favor. Allah Ta'ala, keep it on me all the time. So it's an admission. It's a confession. It's an acknowledgement. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. You see this admission, acknowledgement, and how it takes you, how much it takes you. And though it's in at-tahiyyat. Then you say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah Ta'ala, all this obviously is yours, it came from you, and it is yours. But Allah Pak, you have also commanded us to acknowledge the means. So the greatest means for all his favors, our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was the means. Through he got this iman. So after you, Allah Ta'ala, as you as pay your command, acknowledge the favor of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But by the same token, O Allah, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, then there are numerous luminaries, pious people, that were in the chain that brought us to this level of hidayat. Whether it was taqwa, whether it was knowledge, whether it was righteousness, whether it was the favors and the gifts of parents, whoever else. But all these people, the good people that brought all this to us, it came through some means. So we acknowledge them as well. So you see the acknowledgement. Every way it's an acknowledgement. Acknowledgement from the beginning right till the end is an acknowledgement. It's a confession. You're admitting. Otherwise, when you go out of the admission, no, it's hard work. You know, I studied for this. I worked for this. You know, it's mine. Now that is Shaitan. What? Who's talking now? It's Shaitan. No, I got the money. I can call the shots. I can make decisions. Who must rule my life? See? Now that Allah doesn't like. At-tahiyyatu lillahi. Are you doing it all the time? At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. As-salamu alayka ayyuhun nabi. Allah Pak. These favors came, Allah Pak. It was initially, basically, and really it is yours. But this was the means. As-salamu alayna wa alayba'dillahi salihin. This good, that favors that we enjoy, Allah Ta'ala, is not my own good, is not my doing, not my achievement. Perhaps it's my parents' duas. It is someone that I was good to and was kind to. Allah Pak, he made dua. And it just came this thing. Otherwise, there are many more better persons than myself. They are prosperous. You made me prosperous. You made me so well. So it's my parents' duas. It's my seniors' duas. Someone's duas that have got me, that brought me to this level. So Allah, I acknowledge all that. I acknowledge your favor. Acknowledge the favor of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and all the pious and the righteous and the good people that came in this chain. I acknowledge all of them. So Allah, you bless them. Bless Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam according to his shan and his splendor and his greatness. And by the same token, all the rest that came, you bless them as well. So you haven't left out a single soul from the time of Adam alayhi salam right till the day of Qiyamah. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillah. Have you left anybody? Everybody of you, including this one simple dua. See the magnificence, comprehensive nature of the dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then at the end, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. That's what you read at the end, right? So why do you read that? So you announcing to Allah Ta'ala, not you announcing, but you're proclaiming to Allah Ta'ala that this was the common message from Adam alayhi salam till the day of Qiyamah. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah. Wasn't that the message? It was the message. And every Nabi also accepted the nubuwat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every Nabi. Kuntu nabiyan wa adamu bayn al-ma'i wa teen. I was already declared a Nabi in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. But Adam alayhi salam was still in his mold. I was already declared as a Nabi. So this was something that was already confirmed. It was already decided. It was already approved by you, Allah Ta'ala. So this approval, Allah Ta'ala, I am also announcing it. Allah Ta'ala, I am saying it. I have got that opportunity. Allah Ta'ala, include me amongst those people that had made this admission. Allah Ta'ala, I don't say that I am worthy of it, but Allah Ta'ala, include me amongst them. You see, these du'as are so magnificent. So magnificent du'as. But just that little bit of focus, little bit of attention, and we bring so much of life in our namaz. In our acts of ibad, you see that tahiyyat. You see that little bit of tafsir that you got before. By the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, the grace of Allah Ta'ala, how much meaning it brings to our namaz. Allah Ta'ala accept us.